Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready for the Black Awakening, the Internet Course, and overview of the entire book coming. This is S13, Session 13, Handlers, Watchers, and Enforcers. And I want to encourage you who are checking into all the information. Again, the notes, page 17 on down on the notes. Continue to research. Continue to look. That's part of what Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 is all about, being devoted to prayer and watchful. Watchful is that intense, alert, looking for impending danger. So part of the issue with the underground, the Brotherhood, the Luciferians, and all of the agenda that even biblically God gives to us to see what is coming down the pike is simply this. That there is a secret power of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2, and I know I repeat that all the time, because I'm telling you that there is an operative, a supernatural operative power behind the Luciferian, the Brotherhood, and so forth. That means that they're going to operate in massive secrecy as much as possible. That's what deception and seduction and diversion is all about. And that's why we've seen the frog in the kettle approach for a long time, and we're coming to the point now where everything has been so spiritually desensitized that there are so many alternative paths spiritually out there. Now here's the key to all those many paths. There's a way that seems, you know, right to a person, but the end therein is death, as scripture says. The key to all of that is that in all those alternative paths, the real Christ of Isaiah and the New Testament, Old Testament, so forth, is rejected. And that all those other paths, no one comes out of those claiming that they have a personal relationship with God, that they know God, that they're assured of heaven. There's a lot of other things they have to say, and they are having spiritual experiences. That's what makes the secrecy and the deception and the seduction so powerful. That's what made it so powerful in the beginning. Satan didn't come to Eve and in the beginning, to humanity in the beginning, and say, listen, I want you to follow me in rebellion against God, and when you do, the reality is you're going to lose favor and fellowship with God, sin's going to come in, the physical death is going to come, and the possibility of spiritual death, but I want you to rule and reign with me, and let's see if we can take over the throne of God. He didn't do it that way. And he's not doing it that way today in an overt sense. In a covert sense, among the elite, they may understand that. And please understand something. They're not stupid in the sense that they don't know what they're into. The issue is they literally believe the Luciferian doctrine. Just like a Mooney, who's been really brought into the Unification Church, believes in making the money for Sun, Moon, and so forth, or a Jehovah Witness, or a Mormon, and so forth. They believe in those doctrines, and therefore they practice. The issue is whether those are doctrines of demons. Of course, we would say yes, and we would say that there is a need to look at it systematically in a biblical sense, and also look at it in its logical conclusions. Well, we're on page 17 dealing with handlers, and because of the millions of satanic, ritually abused individuals that have come forward, specifically multiples, those that have multiple personality disorder. Now, this is an issue. I mean, there's television programs and even movies that have made light of it, that have made some fun of it, and there's some out there that are very serious. The latest movie that I've seen that is a little more serious about it is a movie called Three, THR, the letter 3, and then the numeral 3 rather than the letter E. Three. If you ever get a chance to pick that video up, take a look at it and watch what occurs in there with multiplicity. And that's on a lighter level of kind of a psychological approach to it, kind of a psychosis, and because of basic abuse and weirdness that occurred, someone can get a number of personalities, which again wrecks a life and hurts a life. And we're all about doing what Jesus is all about. It's about saving life and healing life and delivering life. Now I love what it says in John 3:16. For God, Gartheos, is this great shocking surprise that God would love the whole world. Remember, John as a Jewish man writing, there was such a horrible teaching concerning that God only loved the Jew back then among the Pharisees and Sadducees. They had forgotten what the book of Isaiah said, that the Christ would be a light to the Gentiles. Well, anyway, we have this love of God being so great, so immense, so deep, so wide, so broad, that he would give up his monogenesis, the one and only Son of God, the only one of a kind, that he would give up his life would be given, that whoever would believe upon him would not perish but have eternal life. And then the next verse says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And let me just say real quickly, in this end time hour, among a lot of conspiracy stuff, there's a lot of people out there condemning others. I'm serious. There's a lot of people out there judging and condemning and so forth. All I know is this: God says that he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. You and I who are Christians are all about seeing the world saved, lives turned to God and brought to God. We're not sitting in some castle somewhere screaming at everybody and calling them names. That is not the body of Christ. Jesus commissioned a church whose first priority would be the winning of the world. He even promised in the book of Mark that he would not return visibly until every single place on the planet has heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Well, that's a tremendous thing. Take a look at page 17. Look at the top where it says these words: every chosen one has handlers. Everyone who's a satanically, ritually abused multiple, the kind of super soldiers that we've been telling you about, the ones that are going to be used, John Marx in his book called The Manchurian Candidates. Every one of them, they have handlers who seek to keep them controlled. That's the bottom line, that handle their life, that trigger them, call them in, adjust them like a robot. They adjust them in all the personalities. They get the information. They do numerous things to keep them. And here's the reason. They, and the handlers would be involved with this, they, the Luciferians, they have watchers and enforcers who are used to keep the cult multiple on track. That is the satanic agenda. So think about it. When you have hundreds of thousands and to the point of millions of cult multiples out there, well, it's obviously that many of them have broken down and have ended up in psych wards and counseling centers all across the United States, the UK, and in Canada. We have hundreds of thousands, and we have literally now millions of cases of DID, MPD, whatever you want to call it today. The bottom line is someone out there has created them. And they now, we need to, as we're dealing with, and if you're a counselor and working with these folks, then we need to begin to pray very heavily and begin to look for and assume that somewhere out there they have handlers, people that are watching them. And if they're watching them and they are coming to you for counseling, then obviously you are going to be watched. And the handler is going to have people under him who are going to be watchers and enforcers that are going to also maybe deal with you to disrupt everything. Here, let me tell you real quick where they start. They start with personalities inside the multiple to dissuade you, to come up with denial, to do whatever's necessary to get rid of you. Kind of like this is basically the polite approach. They would rather harm the multiple before they harm you because they don't want to come out of the closet yet. That's part of the method right now. Well, let's go over all three: handlers, watchers, and enforcers. Then I want to talk about a response to all of them, because part of, again, the providence of God in your lives. Listen, if you're a believer in Christ, then obviously I believe there's a providence in this teaching for you, and that God would be speaking to you, because possibly in your church, obviously in the psych wards in your city, in your neighbor, in your areas, there are cult multiples that have been around for years. The reason we know about a lot of it now is because a lot of these human beings have begun to break down, show up in psych wards, in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. They poured in the 90s. And now there's been just books upon books and stories upon stories and, multiples who have been mostly healed or entirely healed. have written books about their own life. And so there's a corroboration of information from one side of the country to the other, to Canada, to the UK, all over the place. So when people bring up issues like, well, what about the false memory syndrome, you know, there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Well, funny that Dr. Orne and Jolly West, both involved in the CIA's covert mind control programs, were people that helped found the whole thing and operate it. So just take a look at the people and look at the backgrounds of those who operate this thing, and including the one of the guys on the board that had to be kicked off that was writing pro material for child sex that he released in Europe somewhere. So there's research that should be done about that and why that foundation was there. Of course, nobody wants to be accused wrongly, but we got to get down to the issue of what are real memories, verified memories. The issue of mind control and being amnesiac and erasing things and burying things and putting things down. Listen, folks, why would anybody want to use that technology on a mind? You know why? To hide things. I mean, when especially on the pervert side of all this, where they have sexually abused children. We had had a case where we were called into a vineyard church up in Kent, Ohio. And we went to a lady, and she had twin daughters, 8 years old, that she knew something was going wrong with them. They were being taken. They were going to a daycare center. Well, the bottom line story is this. A number of kids came out of there with abuse stories. They brought me in to talk to the two little girls. When it came down to it, each one of the little girls had around, that I talked to anyway, 6 to 8 separate personalities already created in them. Personalities that were already discussing the sexual abuse, the ritual abuse that the daycare people were giving. Now, we did surveillance on this place, and we even went there to approach the place to see. Now, when we went there, going to the front door, you're on camera. Walking into the first class door, you're locked in a sense that you can't get in anywhere. You got to go through a series of unlocking doors and everything else to get back in there to talk to anybody. I mean, it's a really secure place. Obviously, they're watching everybody, and now we're watching them. And we're praying that a massive exposure will come concerning it, because two little girls had to go through some deliverance and some inner healing, and the mother learned how to do the process of inner healing with them. But here we have 8-year-olds. And this is the point that I'm trying to, you know, really convince a lot of people about, that especially, you know, counselors, they understand this principle. Hundreds of thousands of counselors and pastors and workers that have helped multiples, SRA, MPD, multiples, cult multiples. You've been working with the victim side and helping them and doing deliverance and inner healing and everything you can to help them. But the other side of the story is, excuse me, you've dealt with, you know, even if you've dealt with 100 different ones, you know how much time it takes. You know how long the involvement is. Well, let me tell you, every one of you are now recorded, and there's a file. There's a file that has been, a reconnaissance file that has been developed concerning you by the handler, the watchers, and the enforcers. That's right. You're on file. And that's okay. Don't be afraid of that. Listen, we need to enter all of this without fear, bold, strong. I want to tell you right now, you can get so strong on the Lord and have His hand upon your life in such a way that they better fear you. They better fear you, my friend. As a believer in Christ, like John Knox, the wicked queen, that feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. If you could become, you know, that, you know, dedicated, committed, and in prayer and intense in your prayers, there's power in prayer, my friend. There's power in prayer that will cut through satanic blinding, satanic seduction, satanic deception, and satanic secrecy. Now, there's a difference in each of those. 2 Corinthians 4:4 deals with the blinding work of Satan against people in general to keep them from coming to Christ. And I pray to God that if any of you are listening to this somehow, I know that some have got this and sent it around to others, and now it's out there, and there are people getting these MP3s and or CDs and listening that are now Luciferians and cult multiples. And I'm glad for that in one way, saying this, that God in providence has caused you to get a hold of this, to let you know that He is the living God, the real God. He loves you. Christ died for you, shook the earth in that death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. He's coming again, my friend. and all the activity of the Luciferians and Satan is all that is about trying to stop the return of Christ, which will never happen. So I pray that you've made yourself right with God. How does that happen? By turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendering to Him and accepting Him by faith and turning your whole life to Him. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. For the rest of us who are listening right now, and listen, I know there's probably handlers, watchers, and enforcers that get a hold of this. They've got a hold of our other material, and some have emailed us, and some have warned us, and sent messages, and left messages, and so forth. Well, again, God bless you. You remind me of Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts. Maybe you should look it up there in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of the book of Acts. Saul of Tarsus, and what God is able to do with those who are bent on the destruction of the body of Christ, who are bent on silencing those who preach Christ, who are bent in giving murderous threats and harm and bringing harm. Paul later says he did it out of total ignorance, that he was the chief of sinners. But God did something so incredible in his life that I pray in a providential way that if there are handlers, watchers, enforcers, and especially Luciferian elitists that listen to this, and I would encourage all my Christian brothers and sisters to pray that God will Saul of Tarsus you. Saul of Tarsus you. Because you know what? You can't outwit God. You can't hide from God. You can go down to your second basements. You can hide in military labs. You can go down to the caves. You can go down to your special meeting places. You cannot hide from God. And there are people praying now. Now listen, some of you Christians who are listening now thinking, wow, are we off course on this session right now? No, we're right on course. Because this course is never meant to be just a bunch of information to plug into those interested in conspiracies or something like that, just for more information. This is about life, death, heaven, hell, the living God, and the reality of radical evil. This is about handlers who are being used by Satan. Again, we read in Timothy, they've been taken captive to do Satan's will, as have the chosen ones. And by the way, many chosen ones who are older have become handlers of others. Just like many older chosen ones have personalities inside that know how to do rituals and everything else, they also have inside personalities that know how to split and program and bond and conjure demons and place them and then handle on a basic level other multiples. A handler, all chosen ones have them under point A, page 17. They know the chosen ones well. Matter of fact, we've tracked one fellow here in this local area. Let me just call him Timmy. That's not his real name. But Timmy, we were dealing with one individual that a father had called that a multiple that was creating more multiples and really doing a lot of damage got a hold of this guy. Matter of fact, he went to a Bob Larson crusade here locally in Akron, and he showed up, this cult multiple showed up there and literally recruited this young skinhead kid who already had a fragmented personality and literally stole him for a number of days. And the father eventually called us and began to tell us about what was going on with this whole case. And, you know, we had already had data information concerning the perpetrator and concerning a watcher. I guess this other guy was a watcher. Timmy was a watcher and an enforcer. He's a big old muscular guy. He had his hair dyed blonde. Bottom line is this. This one guy was, we had to involve the FBI and call them and law enforcement and a lot of prayer and surveillance. And the boy was gotten back. But eight personalities or more were created in him. And even a suicide programming put into one personality. And he was demonized, man. He was so messed up and used sexually in every other way. And he remembered and could quote the backward Latin and the ritual stuff and the serotonin drugs that was given to him to make him pliable so they could split him and program him. A lot of crazy stuff with that. This guy came out of Alliance, Ohio, and we began to hear about this guy, Timmy, who was showing up at different places. Another lady that came from a counseling place here in the greater Akron area was telling us about this same guy and named his name. And we had him data banked and praying about him. And then another multiple came in and another one. And I asked a law enforcement cult multiple about the person and they knew who it was. Well, one day when I came home with some friends to stop by and get some stuff where we used to live, I'm inside the house and I come outside and my friends, everybody was gone. bottom line, this is what occurred. Well, when I went inside the house, whatever, my friends were parked a little bit up the street, sitting in a parking lot watching the house. A car pulled up into our yard. A man leaned out, a very muscular big man, leaned out and began to take pictures of my house. And my friends saw this, and they peeled out after them. And these people took off. A lady was driving the car. Well, they told me that they lost the guy, whatever else. They came back, and I was wondering about the whole thing. And then I began to remember, you know, putting all the pieces together, that this guy Timmy, was involved with 4 or 5 cases that we were involved with, and they were all reporting the same guy. Very next day, this is where prayer comes in. Very next day, I'm downstairs praying and saying, Lord, if this guy's for real, I need to find him. I need to, you know, see him. I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, for verification. And so I was coming up the stairs of my house, looked out the lattices of where the window was, of the little wood lattices, and across the street, sure enough, this guy's sitting over there in the full description, and I'm watching him, and the Lord's, you know, saying, this is the guy. And I'm looking over there, and he doesn't see me, so I take down his license plate. And of course, while I'm working in law enforcement, they ran NCIC for me. And I found out the guy's last name and a lot about the man. And I drove up to where he actually lived and sat in front of his house and prayed for him. And that was probably 10 years ago or more. And I still pray for him to this very day. But you know what? He's still out there. He's still out there. Because he came to a second house that I had, a place where I was living. And he got caught showing up taking pictures again. You say, well, why in the world is he taking pictures? To keep tabs on people like you and me. To build the file, because on the day of activation, who do you think they're going to come after? Who do you think they need to eliminate in the midst of their chaos? Now, don't turn off this, you know, the MP3 just yet and run for the hills. That would be a coward. That'd be the coward's way out. You're going to hear towards the end of this sessions, of all the sessions, the difference between David when he went down on the field dealing with Goliath and all the trained soldiers that were hiding in the rocks. And you and I have a choice to hide in the rocks where there is no activity of God that leaves the enemy unabated. And that's tragic. That's tragic. But anybody who believes God and steps out and then deals with it, guess what happens? It is very obvious that God demonstrates his power on behalf of the faithful. You know, I don't know if you've read Psalm 15 lately. The beginning of it says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and has no slander on his tongue, and who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man. That was, we despise the evil, the radical evil out there, but honors those who fear the Lord and keeps his oath even when it hurts. That speaks about the character of the believer. But let me talk to you about another side of all this. A lot of Christians, it isn't very important that we deal with the character of who you are. But let me also tell you this. In the context of spiritual battle, Psalm 16, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their liberations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. So we're going to read in the Psalms again and again and again. You're going to see the Psalms are packed with spiritual warfare, relationship with God in the context of constant battle. And the Old Testament typology, in the sense of nations that were highly demonized, they always were coming to aggravate Israel, attack Israel, annihilate King David, and surround King David. It was all about that. But God delivers his faithful ones. God shows his power on behalf of those who are out of the field that believe God. Listen, all the chosen ones have triggers, and I think we've talked a little bit about this already. The idea that a personality inside, say again, there's 35 personalities inside, they all have triggers or names and codes and so forth, and a handler knows this. They may have a little black book or on computer disk, whatever, probably encrypted or whatever. But they know who to when they contact. Now, we've seen it where they've called and played dial tones over the phone, and that is triggered out, or a phrase, or even a card sent in the mail, or timed triggers when 11 o'clock hits, another personality would come up and take over the body and take the body out to a ritual site or to a handler. So inside personalities, runners and informers, and those who have been created to be bonded with handlers. We had a local officer that was a cult multiple. This person had a small personality inside, a little person inside of them. And this little person thought her daddy was this doctor. Sorry for that interruption. Thought this doctor was her daddy, and this doctor was out of Pennsylvania. He was living covertly. We'd run NCIC. We engaged him. He was a multiple, but he was really a handler also. And he would contact by tones over the phone and everything else, but he would contact the little personality inside and want her to come forward so that she could bring the entire physical body over to this local hospital where he could, get her there and do some work on her. And so we constantly battle that issue because many times for you and I who have been counselors and helpers, we've noticed that some of the multiples are missing a day or two, or they're missing 4 hours. And when that happens, the difficulty is this, that they get reprogrammed and redemonized, and they have personalities in there that are going to be told and warned and punished not to be around you or not to come back. So handlers are constantly doing this, and they're triggering individuals out. That's why some people in the beginning, they don't know why they keep having so much trouble with the people they're trying to help, because they keep coming back every so often with wanting more help, but they've been damaged and hurt, and things have occurred. Now, we've tracked handlers, gosh, to hotels, locations, military base, in a Hummer, in a black uniform. We've tracked handlers, to where doctors. And like I mentioned earlier, Timmy, this guy that was probably more of a watcher and enforcer than he was a handler, who literally would have hands-on, who would have knowledge of calling up personalities inside the multiple and dealing with them and getting the reconnaissance and talking and so forth and reassigning the person and punishing the personalities that were trying to get away or talking to you and trying to get freedom. And so they go through, being shocked with a stun gun and hurt in different ways and whatever it takes, they want compliance. And so handlers have no trouble in that also. So when you're dealing with multiples, begin to pray about that they will reveal, because there's personalities inside that may know exactly who the handlers are, and they may have names. We found that there are those inside that finally have an encounter with Christ and they want to turn to the Lord, and then they begin to give up information about who their handlers were and where they at and how they meet, and they've taken us to kind of set up handlers and showing up so that we can see. Well, here's what I want you to remember in all this. There are approximately 5 million cases of MPD in the United States. All across the board, probably around 5 million cases from the 70s on. Now listen, this also would mean there's probably about another 5 million undiagnosed chosen ones. Now I'm going to tell you here for the first time maybe, in some of my literature I've been telling people lately, that I'm going to estimate another 5 million or more. Because the technology to create multiple personalities within a person, because it has demonic origin, because it's all used to create satanic chosen ones and to be loyal to the coming Antichrist, there will be those who will be used in the front line for the chaos. Please understand, there are going to be millions of them used in Europe and the United States. Who do you think the soldiers of Antichrist are going to be? Who do you think is going to be compliant to him and listen to him, like the SS troops of Hitler? That's why I'm saying to counselors and others, as you begin to ask questions about, ask them, do you have anybody inside that speaks German? Do you have anybody that understands about Hitler and the Nazis and Aryan blood? What do you think about, do you know anything about being soldiers of the Antichrist? And watch out. Watch what begins to happen. Watch what begins to happen. You're going to find the personalities popping up and getting angry at you and things happening and crazy, you know, stuff and screaming out at you and whatever else. But you're going to have to, you know, seek them and bring them to an encounter with Christ and bring deliverance, you know, commanding demons off their programming and seeing things broken. You and I need to keep asking, who created all these multiples, these DIDs? Listen, who created all these folks out there? And a lot of the multiples, please understand, they don't have all the information because it's all been segmented. Kind of like your eyes only issues. It's been compartmentalized also. One personality has some information, one personality has some, one has some, others. They're not even allowed to talk on the inside, let alone on the outside. Not everybody has all the information. Among the whole system, the information, as it trickles down to the street level, is less and less and compartmentalized. The higher up you go to the Brotherhood, Luciferians, to the elitists and so forth, of course, they have all the information. They have all the knowledge. They have all the stuff. They have technology, and I believe they have trillions of dollars, and they're preparing. They're preparing. Who created them? Well, as we mentioned before, programmers. And programmers can also be handlers at times. Barring the handlers, which some of them we found to be doctors, in the older days, when Corey Dunhammond and Alan Shefton did the mind control conference in Richmond, Virginia, where I was at in the earlier 90s, they talked about numerous doctors. And again, you track the CIA and the OSS and the Project Paperclip, and you're going to come up with all kinds of names of doctors who would have also been programmers, splitter programmers that would have learned the technology, but they would also be the ultimate handlers. Because if you have somebody that creates 30 personalities, name by name, person by person, giving them the programming, please understand the time investment they put into all this too. They know the people. They know the personalities. They know who they can call on. They know who's strong and loyal. They know who's caving in. They have informers that they've created on the inside of the multiple to inform to them who's caving in. And that's why the whole system is a thing of mind control, soul control, total human life control. Keep asking who created them, because I have a challenge for you also. Yeah, this is not just kind of a, you know, and even I'll say this in the book later on, and you'll see a great big challenge in the book. This is not a book to read. It is not information to listen to. For the believer, it is partly a challenge of what you will do with this information. And, let me touch before I get there on point D. Let me go to B and C. Watchers. Watchers are simply those who just come around and they're you know, and I've had so many stories across, you know, the board of people saying, well, you know what, we feel somebody's watching the house, somebody's watching the church, somebody's watching the counseling center. Listen, handlers will send in watchers to visit your church. People from Cubbins who are going to come just to watch, and that's usually meaning reconnaissance, to observe. They're going to come in and see. And I've even been told where this major guy, the wizard, northwest Pennsylvania, came to the church that I pastored and even came up and introduced, said hello to me and shook my hand. Not sure whether that occurred or not, because as I was a pastor, of course, I meet hundreds of people. But we have noticed everywhere we've dealt with multiples that watchers show up and follow the multiple and observe, and that's what their job is all about. They're lesser people in the coven, and that's part of their job, to go out and watch, to go out and call the handler, to tell them. They're out there informing also. We have numerous engagements with watchers like this. Now, the issue is this. They've created watchers on the inside of the multiple, and they have outside watchers. The inside watchers are there to be kind of, again, watching what the multiple does as a whole. They might be a further back personality that even up front personalities are amnesic about. They don't even know they're there. And see, that's the tough thing. See how the secrecy works. So you may have a multiple you're dealing with, and I hope you already assume that they're, you know, send information back and that lower level personalities are observing and watching and seeing how far you're going to get. But the watcher personality on the inside, if created on the inside, or informant, sometimes they're called informers, informants, their whole job is to stay hidden and quiet and just literally take everything that's being done, what personalities are talking to you, what they're doing as a whole, who you are, and what you guys, what approach you guys are taking. And anything you say about, okay, we're going to have a meeting next week, well, they know that now. Okay, we're going to meet on Friday morning, okay, they know that now. Okay, we're going to get you over here on Friday morning and protect you for the whole weekend and hide you out from the coven or group, well, now they know that. And so when the multiple leaves, the informant or the watcher then is going to communicate that information to handlers and others. So you have inside watchers, so be careful about what you discuss and how you work your plan at times, assuming that any information you give the upfront persons you're dealing with is most likely going to be taken and given to coven members. When we learned this principle and then did not give all the information up front when we did protection, when we did surveillance, then we were able to see, run circles around them. The outside watchers, again, sometimes they will just simply show up. They can show up at your practice looking for help and just wanting to get to know you and get observe you. And I will say this, I'm not sure. Watchers may be able to do, spiritual warfare stuff against you. Primarily, their job is to watch and get information and take information back. That's it, like a spy. The next one, C, is another issue, enforcers. And you're going to hear multiples that you're dealing with talk about enforcers, or simply ask them about enforcers. Enforcers are those who will, when a multiple is got, retrieved back, they're going to do stuff. They're going to do stuff to enforce secrecy, silence. They're going to do stuff. They can be called a punisher. They're going to do harm. And again, sometimes this can be done by the handler. But enforcers within a coven to keep everybody in. And they're there, kind of like the bouncer. But more than that, they're there. Their job is to make sure nobody gets out, that no information leaks, that nobody else gets in. They're there to do harm. When you do ritual, occult crime ritual field work, when we did that years ago at Def Tech, when Tom Wedge, the author of The Satan Hunter, took us there, we were out in the field, of course, looking up satanic ritual sites and so forth. And but he would have all the perimeter issues set up too, and booby traps and everything else. And perimeter issues, for example, if they're doing a sacrifice out in the woods, they're not just going to be 13 people out there, around some naked girl doing something without protection. They're going to already have done ritual stuff for spiritual protection to keep everybody out. Then they're going to have a perimeter around that ritual that guards. They're not involved in the ritual, but they guard anybody getting close to it. They may have a second, perimeter out there that also then guards. So that if you, as we have come up on ritual sites, we have hit the first perimeter of protectors, enforcers, that have had weapons, that back in the woods and back in fields, driven vehicles where all the lighting, brake lights and front lights and inside was all off. They're very secretive. Night vision and all kinds of things they may use to keep their ritual of sacrificing a human or doing whatever they're going to do very secretive. If they're doing it in a basement of some house, they're going to have outside people keeping an eye on everything. Please understand, that's how it works in the drug world too. If you could understand how the drug world works with people who watch out for the cops, and maybe enforcers that go after people, to break fingers and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like mafioso. Well, enforcers do that. They do stuff out of harm. They will harm. And they will threaten counselors at times who are getting too close to things too. They're not going to, but so far we've seen they don't want to be known. Matter of fact, the mode of operation, the MO, is this: that if you eventually find out who handlers, watchers, and enforcers are, or people of the coven are, primarily on the rogue military side, their goal is then to remove those handlers, watchers, enforcers, and replace them with new people, because their cover has been blown, and They need to remove them completely and put in other people. They got to do everything they can, because at this stage of the game, they got to live in secrecy. They got to keep things quiet. They don't want to make a ruckus. They really don't want to go out and kill anybody and harm anybody right now and create massive attention. So the best thing right now is point D that I'm talking about on this page for you and I. Engaging the creators, the users, the elitists. If you really want to engage them, listen, they're out there in their rituals, thousands of places all over the land in their rituals. They're out there like the Goliath, you know, mocking God and getting ready to bring this assault, you know, in the United States and other places so that they can make room for the rise of the Antichrist and have the world, you know, desperate for a savior like that. I would say, let's begin with prayer. Let's begin to throw out a prayer net. That if you're praying for a multiple, you know, and you're dealing with a multiple, an upfront person, of course you're praying for all the personalities inside and any cult loyal members and priests, you know, all of those inside need to be prayed for. And demonic stuff needs to be prayed against. And programming needs to be prayed to be softened and dealt with before you even get to it. Obviously, there's a prayer net and mapping that you would do over the multiple. But for every multiple, you need to throw a cast a net of prayer out and begin to pray, Lord, expose their handlers and watchers and enforcers. Expose the coven members who may be around. Expose the agenda. Expose the places. And even if information is given to you concerning the coven or meeting places or names and whatever, or a doctor or this or that, and you begin to get that, write it down and pray that God will give you, you know, two or three witnesses to establish something. Pray that God will give you confirmation about, you know, these individuals. Providentially, you know, give you that also. So that, you know, you begin to compile information on individuals and the covenant and the group and the people or whatever else. And you pour. Listen, if you begin to thunder out your prayers for these people, here's what we found happens. Pretty soon, more and more of the handlers, watchers, and enforcers are exposed. And I absolutely believe, because of the prayers and prayer mapping and intercession that we did, that's why this number one, and he's still here to this very day in this area, this number one watcher, Timmy, that's not his real name, this big, you know, very, you know, capable ex-military individual is still out there. But you know what? He's on my prayer map. He's being prayed about, like Saul of Tarsus. He may be out there with many other handlers, you know, and so forth, and even high priests of covens, and even women who are involved in the coven system, older women even that are involved in the whole process. Listen, you begin to pray backwards over all these individuals, over the military individuals, over the information you've got. Use the information as your targets. Ask God the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you in praying for their exposure, praying for the hand of God to go to them and begin to deal with them. Ultimately, obviously, praying for their salvation, like Saul of Tarsus. When you read Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9, you're going to see that Saul of Tarsus is out there breathing murderous threats, man. He's insane. He only knows one thing. You know, he lived as a Pharisee, which was a cult religion back in those days. They set aside the truth and the righteousness and the way that God had, the will of God. And the book of Romans tells us in Romans, you know, 11, that they set up their own. That's a cult. That's a different spiritual thread or stream that they have created on their own. And so anyway, the bottom line is this: Saul of Tarsus, you know, he's out there and he's there giving his vote and everything else to the death of Stephen. He's there helping out on that. He's there getting legal papers. He's working through the legal system. He's doing all that he can to shut down the body of Christ. Well, the good news is this: the body of Christ, Christian, listen to me, is indestructible. Indestructible. The accuser of the brethren is kind of constantly, you know, slam the church and do all that he can. That's part of the agenda, by the way, right now, is to slam the body of Christ so badly that any new Christian won't even, you know, is afraid to go, because there's going to be so many slammers out there and scoffers out there. Be careful about what you and I, you know, say against the body of Christ. David Wilkerson of the past used to say how sometimes people are slamming other Christians so much it's like taking an axe and slamming it on the throne of Christ, hitting him. Saul of Tarsus, when he was encountered by Jesus Christ, what did Jesus say? You know, Saul, Saul, you know, he said, who is it, Lord? It is Jesus whom you are persecuting. To attack the body of Christ is to attack Christ. To slam the body of Christ is to slam Christ. To slur the body of Christ is to slur Christ. Now, this is very important for us. The body of Christ is indestructible because Jesus said he's going to build a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And I want to be a part of that. Listen, the church should be two elements: magnetic presence and missionary force. The magnetic presence of the living Christ, of his love and saving and healing and working that can be done and just astounding people and bringing grace to people and the power and beauty of the Word of God. And then on the other stand, missionary force. That's the book of Acts. Study the book of Acts and you're going to see this. This incredible magnetic force of God's working that draws people to salvation, even people like Saul of Tarsus. Look at Saul of Tarsus. You say, well, all these elite, could any Luciferian get saved? Could any Brotherhood get saved? Could the wizard out of Pennsylvania, could doctors and CIA individuals get saved? Could people that are, you know, from the NSA and DID and all the undergrounders that are in the rogue sides of military who get a part, you know, get a hold of this CD or MP3 down the road, can they get saved? Yes! Saul of Tarsus was helping to murder Christians. And he was out to attack Christ in the body of Christ, and he had an agenda, and the living Christ brought him to his knees and encountered him, and obviously we see in chapter 9 Saul of Tarsus surrendering to the living Christ, being filled with the Spirit of God, the scales coming off his eyes, and becoming one of the great missionary servants of God who is led by the Spirit of God to write books of the Bible that I'm quoting to you this day. So the enemy of the church and the enemy of Christ and the enemy of the people of God became one of the greatest servants. So I am encouraging you to target them in prayer. Target them. Now, when I target them in prayer, I'm praying for this one factor: their salvation, their deliverance, God to come to them, visit them. Listen, in the Old Testament, God would even visit pagan nations with the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord to make them melt in fear. And I pray this way. I pray that God will engage them in such a way that they know the power of God, that God has come among them, that they, on the evil side, will shake in their boots and be warned. But ultimately, number one would be that they would be saved, that they would be radically encountered by the mercy and grace of Christ who died on the cross, not only for our sins, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, not only for our sins, he's not the halosmos just for our sins, the atoning sacrifice, he's the atoning sacrifice not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, of Saul of Tarsus, of evil people, like you and like me. We're all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's you and I, friend, and that's them. And so we pray that they get saved. I boldly want Luciferians and priests and elitists and the power mongers to know that. I want the watchers, enforcers, and handlers to know that. But I also know this. That I say, in times when I know that watchers and handlers and so forth are like, for example, so terribly sexually abusing children or harming individuals, that when they don't, you know, they don't listen to the warnings of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Well, you know, we read in Hebrews that it's a heavy thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You know, it's a very heavy thing, because the wrath of God can fall also. And I want to tell you something. In the book of Acts, when King Herod, who was up against the body of Christ, who was, allowing himself to almost be deified among the people, one simple thing occurred. An angel of God came, touched him with a sword, and he died. Josephus The non-Christian historian of those days wrote about that and said that King Herod filled up with maggots or worms and in 5 days died. Can God take out people? Absolutely. There's been times I've prayed, God, this handler or this programmer or this, you know, rogue, you know, these individuals that are, they're, you know, we've done everything, that nothing's stopping them. They're hurting more and more and more and more individuals. Even now we've asked, Lord, do whatever it takes to stop them. And I believe there's been a couple of cases. Obviously cases where people have been removed. But I know of a case directly, and our team knows of a case, and the multiples around us that were his victims know of the case where this guy died. And everybody knows, and the cult multiples know that were out there. And the victims of this man know that God brought him down. And I would rather God bring somebody down than they sexually abuse, split the minds of 5 or 6 or 7, you know, more little children. The deeds that they have done are so horrific, and the reason for them, they are so spiritually dark, their conscience are seared as with a hot iron. They may have crossed that line of reprobation. They may have gone so far. Like God said to Jezebel, that cult, demonized, cult-leading woman that came into the church, 7 Churches of Revelation, look it up. And she was even leading the servants of God astray, and nothing was being done about it in the church. And the Bible says that Christ engaged her and gave her time to repent. Even her, an evil, wicked woman, demonic teaching, perverted, cultic, sexual stuff was being done, bringing perversion, you know, into the church, and even deceiving for a while anyway some of the servants of God. Now listen. God gave her time to repent, but she was unwilling. So he cast her on a bed of suffering. Whatever that was, sickness, pain, I don't know. But her sins and her crimes, high crimes, were being dealt with. King, you know, the Pharaoh of the Old Testament, God first, you know, offered things, and Pharaoh first hardened his heart. Then God did things, and you know, that's what he'll do. He'll eventually run circles around the elitists, as we'll see in session 15. Well, let me encourage you right now, as you're thinking through handlers, watchers, and enforcers, and if you're a counselor, you have a big, you know, have a lot to do with this, because they obviously know who you are. They obviously have been watching you. They obviously have been dealing with maybe the people that you're trying to help. So it's time for you to cast a prayer net and gather in people that are praying. If you have a counseling center, if you're a church that's dealing with multiples, you ought to have a couple of people every day come in and pray for an hour or so within it. You know, give them all the materials to pray over, to pray over all the information and to target the information, praying again for the salvation, healing, deliverance, and freedom of the of victims. Praying for covens and all the stuff they're doing to be exposed, and for God to crush the demonic workings, and literally to it, you know, for God to come in to attack the satanic workings that are going on around. But you got to do it in specific forms. Pray for revival. Pray for the hand of God. Pray for the power of God in your area. Your area may seem dark and oppressed because on the ground there are corresponding, you know, rituals and you know, doorways and gateways that have been opened up for so long now that it seems like in your area there's a real spiritual dark fog, and it seems like all the churches are suppressed, and there needs to be a burst of the power and the grace and the mercy of God. Have you read Acts chapter 4 lately? I didn't hear any answers out there. Have you read Acts chapter 4 lately? Well, I commit Acts chapter 4 and ask that the Lord Jesus will visit you as you read Acts chapter 4. May the Lord Jesus bless you and strengthen you and give you such courage that the world, by that spiritual, bold, spiritual, beautiful courage, will know that as a matter of fact, let me read it to you out of the book of Philippians, okay? Here's what it says in chapter 2, verse 14 down. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars, the Greek word meaning like luminaries. You shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that, you know, Paul may boast on the day of Christ that he did not run or labor for nothing. And he talks about his own sacrifice and so forth and all the things that he's been going through. And listen, this is what we're doing. We're out there as God's light to the world. Here the Spirit of God is saying we're like luminaries if we're going to live like the children of God and live the way that we're supposed to. Now listen, going back to, look back in verse 2, and 12 rather, in chapter 2 of Philippians. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. God's operating in you with supernatural grace and power. He's working in you so that you will be that force that contests that total rule of Satan and his working around. Yes, we will not stop everything, but surely we will stop some things. We will not save everybody, get everybody saved, but we will see some get saved. If we do nothing, nothing will happen. Remember the story of the talents, Christian? Listen, the talents. Remember the guy that buried his talent? Remember the guy that simply buried it? Don't bury the grace of God. Don't bury the power of God. Don't bury the supernatural working, the extraordinary things God can do. And fear is a snare and will keep you burying and hiding things. Listen, give your life away to Jesus. Surrender your whole physical, spiritual life to Christ. And entrust your whole life to be guarded by Him. Nobody's going to take you out without the hand of God knowing. Nobody. So what would it matter if you're out there living so boldly for Christ, leading many to Christ, doing a tremendous work, praying with authority against the dark powers and making great impact for God in your area? And what if somebody does take you out down the road? And you go home to be with the Lord after leading, 700 people to Christ, helping to bring revival in, crushing the satanic work in your area to a great degree, even seeing maybe some Saul of Tarsus type evil people getting saved, and you go to heaven that way. I think that'd be a lot better than hiding your talent in some little apartment, some little castle, and never getting out and doing anything, just waiting for Jesus to get you out of there. Let me read you again. This is in chapter 1 of Philippians. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Let me read it again. That's chapter 1, verse 28. Why don't you memorize that? Matter of fact, I'm going to memorize that too. I don't have it down as a complete memory verse. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. May I encourage you. Philippians 1:28. This is Russ Dizdar, the course, internet course, Black Awakening, from shadowthedarkness.net. God bless you, my friends.